What happened to the king, watchman?
I think he's gone off for a rest, said Vimes.
My auntie said I shouldn't talk to watchmen, said the child.
Do you think it might be a good idea to go home and tell her how obedient you've been, then? Said Vimes.
My auntie said if I was naughty, she'd put me on the roof and call the dragon, said the child conversationally. My auntie said it eats you all up, starting with the legs, so you can see what's happening.
Why don't you go home and tell your auntie she's acting in the best traditions of Ankh-Morpork pork child-rearing, said Vimes. Go on, run along.
It crunches up all your bones, said the child happily, and when it gets to your head, it...
Look, it's up there, shouted Vimes. The great big dragon that crunches you up. Now, go home.
The child looked up at the thing perched on the crippled dais.
I haven't seen it crunch anyone yet, it complained.
Push off or you'll feel the back of me hand, said Vimes.
This seemed to fit the bill. The child nodded understandingly.
Right. Can I shout hurrah again?
If you like, said Vimes.
Hurrah!
So much for community policing, Vimes thought. He peered out from behind the fountain again. A voice immediately above him rumbled,
Say what you like, I still swear it's a magnificent specimen.
Vimes's gaze travelled upwards until it crested the edge of the fountain's top bowl.
Have you noticed, said Sybil Ramkin, hauling herself upright by a piece of eroded statuary and dropping down in front of him, how every time we meet, a dragon turns up.
She gave him an arch smile. It's a bit like having your own tune or something.
It's just sitting there, said Vimes hurriedly, just looking around as if it's waiting for something to happen.
The dragon blinked with Jurassic patience. The roads of the square were packed with people. That's the Ankh-Morpork instinct, Vimes thought. Run away and then stop to see if anything interesting is going to happen to other people. There was a movement in the wreckage near the dragon's front talon, and the high priest of Blind Io staggered to his feet, dust and splinters cascading from his robes. He was still holding the ersatz crown in one hand. Vimes watched the old man look upwards into a couple of glowing red eyes a few feet away.
"Can dragons read minds?" whispered Vimes.
"I'm sure mine understand every word I say," hissed Lady Ramkin. "Oh no, the silly old fool is giving it the crown."
"Isn't that a smart move?" said Vimes. "Dragons like gold. It's like throwing a stick for a dog, isn't it?"
"Oh, dear," said Sybil Ramkin. "It might not, you know. Dragons have such sensitive mouths."
The great dragon blinked at the tiny circle of gold. Then, with extreme delicacy, it extended 1 metre-long claw and hooked the thing out of the priest's trembling fingers.
"What do you mean, sensitive?"
said Vimes, watching the claw travel slowly towards the long, horse-like face.
"A really incredible sense of taste. They're so, well, chemically orientated."
"You mean it can probably taste gold?" whispered Vimes, watching the crown being carefully licked.
"Oh, certainly, and smell it."
Vimes wondered what the chances were of the crown being made of gold. Not high, he decided. Gold foil over copper, perhaps. Enough to fool human beings. And then he wondered what someone's reaction would be if they were offered sugar which turned out, once you'd put 3 spoonfuls in your coffee, to be salt. The dragon removed the claw from its mouth in 1 graceful movement and caught the high priest, who was just sneaking away, a blow which knocked him high into the air. When he was screaming at the top of the arc, the great mouth came around and...
"Gosh," said Lady Ramkin.
There was a groan from the watchers.
"The temperature of the thing," said Vimes. "I mean, nothing left, just a wisp of smoke."
There was another movement in the rubble. Another figure pulled itself upright and leaned dazedly against a broken spar. It was Lupine Once, under a coating of soot. Vimes watched him look up into a pair of nostrils the size of drain covers. Once broke into a run. Vimes wondered what it felt like running away from something like that, expecting any minute your backbone to reach, very briefly, a temperature somewhere beyond the vaporization point of iron. He could guess. Once made it halfway across the square before the dragon darted forward, with surprising agility for such a bulk, and snatched him up. The talon swept on upward until the struggling figure was being held a few feet from the dragon's face. It appeared to examine him for some time, turning him this way and that, then, moving on its 3 free legs and flapping its wings occasionally to help with its balance, it trotted away across the plaza and headed towards the what had once been the patrician's palace, to what once had been a king's palace, too. It ignored the frightened spectators silently pressing themselves against the walls. The arched gateway was shouldered aside with depressing ease. The doors themselves, tall and iron-bound and solid, lasted a surprising 10 seconds before collapsing into a heap of glowing ash. The dragon stepped through. Lady Ramkin turned in astonishment. Vimes had started to laugh. There was a manic edge to it, and there were tears in his eyes, but it was still laughter. He laughed and laughed until he slid gently down the edge of the fountain, his legs splaying out in front of him.
"Hooray! Hooray! Hooray!" he giggled, almost choking.
"What on earth do you mean?" Lady Ramkin demanded.